everyone. I'm Stephanie Sachs, and welcome to Stirring the Pot. Stirring the Pot. Here at Stirring the Pot, we bring together the best minds in food, nutrition, and health. Each week, we share a recipe, good food brands, great conversation, and lots of tips to make your life healthier. It's our goal to inform and inspire when it comes to my lifelong passion. As a kid, I was often sick, and doctors weren't giving me the answers I needed. So I learned to use food to help me get well and feel better. I went to culinary school, became a chef, then earned a master's degree in nutrition. Now I help people get healthy and stay healthy by understanding what they're eating and why. So reach out to me with any questions, and we'll stir the pot together. Stirring the Pot, where nutritious always meets delicious. Stirring the Pot is proudly presented by East Hampton Dental Group and supported in part by Hampton Jitney, Naturopathica Healing Arts Center and Spa, and Saunders & Associates. Stirring the Pot. Today's show is Fearless Feeding, how to raise healthy eaters from high chair to high school. And I'll be speaking with registered dietitians and child feeding experts Jill Castle and Marianne Jacobson about their new book, Fearless Feeding. But before we dive into that, here's drive-through nutrition. Beep, 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 yeah. In a fast-paced world of bad food choices, how can you make better ones? In other words, what can you tweak in your day-to-day to make a difference in your health? We welcome a new caller today at our drive-through window. Hello?
Hi, it's Rich from Sag Harbor.
Hi, Rich. What's going on?
Oh, just, you know, enjoying this lovely day and trying to navigate through a diet that I've started about a month ago.
What kind of diet?
I'm on a gluten-free, dairy-free diet, and it's been a challenge, to say the least.
Why are you on a gluten-free, dairy-free diet?
I am on a diet because I've had some medical issues and haven't been feeling so well, and I'm trying to figure out if these things are exasperating the issue or not.
And so do you find that cutting the gluten and dairy out has helped you at all?
I feel it has helped me. And I feel better. I've lost weight. I'm down about 8 pounds. But I do find, though, I do have a challenge when I'm outside of my home to find gluten-free and dairy-free products, whether it's lunch or dinner or whatever, or even breakfast.
Right. And that is a challenge for so many people. But the good news is that so many restaurants these days are aware that people have gluten sensitivities and dairy sensitivities. And so my best advice would be when you are out to eat or you're ordering something from a restaurant, talk to them and say, I need it dairy-free. I need it gluten-free. What are my alternatives? What do you have on the menu that meets those specifications?
Okay.
That's one thing that you can do. And I think that oftentimes dairy is one of the hardest things because it's really in our foods in so many ways, cooking with butter, finishing with butter, and it's often hidden in whether you're getting a smoothie, sometimes in whey powder. So you really have to ask a lot of questions about what is in your food to be able to navigate through the gluten-free and dairy-free diet when you're outside of the home.
I've noticed that. I've noticed that.
What types of foods do you like to order when you're out?
Well, I need to be on the safe side, so I'm always looking for beans and vegetables and those kind of things, and just being very conscious about what's on a menu, you know, whether it's at the health food store or wherever, or at a deli, and I'm being a little bit more whole foods oriented almost in a way.
Well, and that sounds like you're on a great track. And I would just keep going in that direction, but really make sure that you ask questions. I always say to people, you have a right to ask questions about your food. So don't be shy for an instant when you go into a restaurant, whether you're dining out or taking food out, to just ask questions because these foods can trigger.
Absolutely. I know someone who is constantly doing that.
I hope that that person is helping you and helping to guide you. So
they,
if you,
they are.
Oh,
they
good.
Are.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. And thanks for calling in. And if you want to be on Drive Through Nutrition to address your questions or concerns, email me at sbs@stephaniesachs.com. That's Stephanie with an F for food. Join the conversation on air. It could make a difference in your health. Now, on to the good brand of the week, Liz Lovely Cookies. She is literally baking a difference with her vegan and gluten-free cookies. More on these rounds of some serious yum after this short break.
I kissed her again because she had kisses sweeter than wine. She had kisses sweeter than wine.
Stirring the Pot is presented by East Hampton Dental Group, a multi-specialty dental practice with a caring, experienced team led by Dr. Mambrino and Dr. Venn. They provide many specialties of integrative dentistry all in one location. The state-of-the-art facility is in the heart of East Hampton Village. Information available at 631-324-6800 or ehdental.com. Back to Liz and her lovely cookies. My husband, who has recently gone dairy and gluten-free, has a bit of a sweet tooth and is hooked. While I'm not one for sweets, if I have a cookie urge, Liz Lovely Cookies is where I go. This Vermont-based company offers a large variety of insanely delicious cookies, including chocolate chip, chocolate fudge, ginger molasses, peanut butter, coconut macaroon, oatmeal raisin, and more. The cookies are made with pretty simple ingredients, are soft, chewy, and full of finger-licking flavor. And it's a company made up of people who really care about what goes in their food and what their customers think. Gotta love that. You can find them at many local health food stores, Whole Foods, and other larger markets, and of course, at LizLovely.com. We all need something sweet once in a while. You're listening to Stirring the Pot with Stephanie Sachs on WPPB 88.3 FM, Peconic Public Broadcasting, Southampton, New York, serving the East End of Long Island and Southern Connecticut.
And now it's time for our guests. Jill Castle is a registered dietitian and child nutrition expert. As a mother of four, she has the personal experience to stand on. She has a private practice, consults, speaks, and writes. She recently joined forces with Marianne Jacobson to write Fearless Feeding, How to Raise Healthy Eaters from High Chair to High School. Marianne is a mother of two, and her fresh perspective on feeding children is evident in her work as consultant, speaker, and writer. Ladies, thank you for stirring the pot with me. Such a compelling topic.
Well, thanks for having us on.
Such a pleasure. How did the two of you meet?
Well, this is Jill. I was interviewed by Marianne for a series of blog posts that she was doing on her blog, Raise Healthy Eaters, and she was focusing on eating disorders, and we got to talking and became friendly over the phone, and our conversations, you know, ultimately became deeper and broader on the topic of child nutrition. We were talking about obesity and the state of our country and how everybody was hung up on picky eating. And I remember we got into this pretty juicy conversation about how everybody was dealing with things like obesity and picky eating, and that the way in general our community was dealing with it was to just scratch the surface, just this, get the food right and your problem will be solved. For example, we would talk about hiding vegetables in other foods or rewarding children if they would eat their dessert or would eat their broccoli with dessert and so on. Mostly these tactics we observed were ineffective and not really producing the response that parents were wanting. They were actually causing more problems.
Hallelujah. I'm glad you said that.
Yes. And through our conversations, we just said, you know what, parents just don't have the resource that they need. And that's sort of what, you know, how we met through blogging, the blogosphere, and just conversations.
The blogosphere, I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
I like that. So what was the genesis behind Fearless Feeding?
Well, this is Marianne. Well, when we first talked, we both admitted to wanting to write a book, but it was pretty daunting because we wanted to, you know, have a nutrition Bible for feeding kids for all ages. And I, you know, personally, I wanted to write a book with someone, you know, I had interviewed experts and with extensive pediatric knowledge, and Jill was, you know, perfect choice. And I think we just saw eye to eye. We discussed, like Jill said, the child nutrition problems on the rise, how there really isn't one solid resource. Most of the books out there focus on food and recipes, which is fine, but there's a whole missing piece that we felt parents weren't getting. So this kind of imbalance of feeding information with the increase in nutrition problems, obesity, picky eating, we're making parents really fearful. So we both get questions. You know, we talk about, you know, people write into me and say, my baby isn't on finger food yet. What do I do? My child's obsessed with sweets. my child won't eat vegetables. And so we found there was all this panic and fear, and so our goal behind Fearless Feeding really is to bring parents a really comprehensive view of feeding, not just nutrition information, but going deeper, looking into how best to feed them, how their development. You know, a lot of these things are normal, and parents don't realize that. So, you know, we help them decide when it's normal, and sometimes it's not normal, so they may need additional help.
So why do parents today have it much harder than parents of previous generations?
Well, Stephanie, this is Jill again. I think that we have sold parents a little bit short when we eliminated home economic classes.
Oh, thank you for saying that.
Health classes in general in the high school. We're not preparing parents to be good at feeding and have nutrition knowledge and even cooking skills. In fact, a lot of times I'll say we do a great job of teaching parents how to have a baby. We spend 12 weeks of Lamaze classes, yet they have a baby and they don't know how to feed the baby. And they certainly, you know, don't have the support that they need after that baby turns into a toddler and a school ager and then onto a teen. We also, I think, parents are challenged by the fact that many houses have dual income families, and cooking skills really went out of style with the working mom of the 70s. Modern parenting, we have parents, even if they aren't working for an income, they certainly are spending a lot of time outside of the home, either volunteering or organizing sports or other community activities. And frankly, you know, the restaurant world, the fast food world has made it very easy for families to eat out. And we all want quick satisfaction.
It's so true. It's so true. And that brings me to this question, when we look at all of the things that you guys are talking about, what are the biggest obstacles facing these parents when it comes to children and feeding? We know, you know, time, we know lack of cooking skills, but you had said something really important about there's really no quick fix, and that it's so layered. There's so much more than just doing the food without the fat or limited fat or limited sugar. So I'm curious, what are some of the biggest obstacles that you're seeing outside of the obvious?
Well, I think there's a lot of pressure on parents. So they have all this pressure to feed their kids right. There's a lot of media, you know, there's coverage on obesity and then they try and make healthy food, you know, without the cooking skills we talked about, or some do. But then when their kids don't eat, then they get frustrated, and then they choose ineffective feeding practices like forcing or bribing or rewarding. And then they kind of go back between giving up but then being really controlling. And it's really hard. And, you know, parents, you know, a lot of them just, you know, may give up long term, especially when their kids get in school and they're influenced by their peers.
Absolutely. So what is fearless feeding as opposed to fearful feeding? I mean, there's so much that you guys are talking about that parents have so much fear. And I would love to start talking about what your strategies are and how you deconstruct the fear that these parents have.
Right. Well, first off, you have to know what being fearless is versus being fearful. And being fearless with feeding is meaning that you have the confidence to feed your child through the ups and downs of the normal developmental phases they're going to go through, like picky eating or being obsessed with sweets and junk or dieting. And parents who are fearless also have a deeper understanding of what's going on, and they know how to respond in positive ways. They can find the information on nutrition and feeding that they need from a reliable resource. Fearful feeding, in contrast, is sort of that parent who's always questioning his or her every step, using tricks, using gimmicks to get their children to eat, or controlling their child with eating, or having them not eat based on their weight. Fear, in and of itself, is the driver of most of the feeding decisions and practices that parents who are fearful use.
Well, that's beautifully put, and actually, fear is paralytic. And I want to come back from this short break to talk about what your strategies are. So we'll be right back to continue the conversation with child feeding experts Jill Castle and Marianne Jacobson. Stirring the Pot is supported in part by Hampton Jitney, the transportation choice for generations of customers traveling to and from New York City and Eastern Long Island. They offer state-of-the-art coaches with Wi-Fi, convenient departures, reliable service, and nearby connections to JFK, LaGuardia, and MacArthur airports. Hampton Jitney also offers charter service and custom group tours to favorite destinations on the East Coast. Information available at 631-283-4600 or HamptonJitney.com. I'm Stephanie Sachs, and with me are registered dietitians and child feeding experts, Jill Castle and Marianne Jacobson. So, ladies, such a wealth of information. Your book, Fearless Feeding, this unbelievable feeding Bible for parents and their children. How do you break your feeding down into stages to remove the fear from all of the parents?
Well, we have a comprehensive approach to feeding kids. So, basically includes what to feed, the nutrition, how to meet needs at different stages, how to do it. So feeding styles and practices, having the right structure and boundaries. You know, we have sample dialogue in the book to help parents, you know, learn how to talk in positive ways. And also why kids eat the way they do, the developmental stage. There's a lot of, when you understand that, you know, what you're going through is normal, it helps a lot. And then also your own child's temperament. You know, each child has their own food personality. Some will be more picky than others, but they all can learn to be healthy eaters. They just may do so at different paces. And then when you have a when parents have a working knowledge of all three of these factors, feeding is easier, it's more fulfilling. Parents, you know, but unfortunately parents only hear about the what, and, you know, and as I stated earlier, you know, a lot of times kids don't eat what we serve them, so that then all the frustration happens. So the how and why that, you know, really bring it all together.
Well, I think that that's great that you guys interject all of these ideas in terms of giving parents the insight as to why their kids may be behaving a certain way at a certain age and what's normal and what's not normal. And it's almost like the comfort blanket for the parent who is learning how to feed their children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How much do you guys think a parent's poor relationship with food affects their child?
Well, you know, I worked with adults before getting into family nutrition, and I realized this link early on. I'd ask my clients, you know, what and how they were fed as kids, and I really found there were, it was closely linked. You know, many that struggled with their weight were asked to clean their plates or rewarded with food or started dieting really young. And, you know, and some parents are very aware. They'll email me and say, you know, I don't even have kids yet. I want to fix my food issues. But then others aren't as aware. So, you know, we really try and help bring this awareness in the book that it's definitely important.
Well, I think that that's really commendable because I find that so many children's eating habits are a reflection of their parents, and a lot of times parents are not aware.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most challenging things is to teach these parents how to break these bad habits. And what are some of the strategies that you guys offer?
Well, I think, you know, Stephanie, I think there's a lot of parents out there that will tell you that they were forced to sit at the table and eat their green beans before they could leave. And those types of experiences as a child gets carried on into parenthood. And inevitably, oftentimes, those trickle down into the feeding relationship between the parent and the child. What we try to do in the book is help parents look into those situations that they experienced or might even like not even realize that was impacting their life today. And we help them try to rectify them. What's so great about the book is that you can learn to feed yourself as an adult based on reading the book that you're reading for your children, because it really does break down feeding into the how parents interact with their children and why they behave the way they do. That applies to adults as well.
Right.
How do you feed yourself, and why are you going for that extra bowl of ice cream? What's behind that? Are you really hungry, or are you emotionally upset? Or it really helps people look inward and sort of sort things out for themselves, or even maybe not sort it out, but recognize that there is something that might be feeding into what's going on with their kids.
Right. It sounds like you guys are hitting it from so many different angles, which is really nice. And I'm so curious, though, what's your take on the picky eater?
I'll let Marianne go first.
We look at, for most kids, it's a normal part of their development.
Absolutely.
Like I said, some kids will be more picky. There is a genetic link. So, you know, if you were picky as a kid and, you know, it's likely your kids might be a little bit more picky. Parents can make it worse if they use certain tactics like, you know, making feeding an issue, hiding foods, and then the kid doesn't trust, you know, they find the food in there, rewarding or pushing. All that actually makes picky eating last longer.
Right.
But, you know, if they don't make a big deal out of it, keep meals pleasant, and the strategies we have in the book, you know, it really won't be as long. I mean, kids, you know, are kind of picky. I mean, it's not like it all of a sudden stops, but it should over time as they get into school age. It does get better, and I've seen that with, I have two kids, 4 and 6.
Right.
6-year-old, I mean, it really, you know, she's not eating everything, but she's much more willing to try, and it's just, it really does change, and knowing that it's not going to stay, that really picky phase between, you know, 2 to 5 doesn't last forever, but it can be.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is that today, picky eating is such a hot topic. Yeah, and having been somebody who's worked with children and adolescents, I mean, kids are getting older and older, and they're still picky.
Yeah.
So what we want parents to understand is that picky eating is normal between the age of 2 and 5, but beyond that, it's not really normal anymore.
Right.
And that scares parents because they're looking at their 8-year-old son and saying, hey, you know, okay, gosh, my kid's not normal anymore. What happens is that there are some real issues medically that can cause picky eating to go on for a longer time.
Absolutely.
Sensory, behavioral issues, medical issues, early life experiences that have really turned kids off, particularly in premature babies, that may have turned them off from eating. So what we want parents to understand is what is normal, but what's not normal, and not to wait until your child is 13, 14 to start intervening with the picky eating. If you have a child who's missing out or avoiding whole food groups like all vegetables and they're 10, that's not normal. Let's look into texture issues. Let's look into sensory things. Because kids can overcome these things, but when they go on for long periods of time, it gets harder and harder to overcome them.
You guys are music to my ears. Really. Where can people learn more about both of you and the book?
Well, we have a website. It's www.fearlessfeeding.com. We also have a Facebook page, so it's Fearless Feeding on Facebook. And both Marianne and I, we each have individual websites and blogs as well. So we're out there in the blogosphere. So just come looking for us. We'd love to have you in our community.
Oh, God. Jill and Marianne, thank you for stirring the pot with me. Your book is a treasure chest that every parent should have.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Thank you so much, Stephanie.
Now it's time for the Weekly Yum, Coast to Coast with Sacks and Katz.
Life is just a bowl of cherries. Don't make it serious. Life's too mysterious. The sweet things in life to you were just loaned. So how can you lose what you've never owned? Life is just a bowl of cherries. So live and laugh at it all.
Stirring the Pot is supported in part by Naturopathica Healing Arts Center and Spa. For 15 years, Naturopathica has been the Hampton source for holistically soothing massages and facials, complemented by their complete line of all-natural skincare and anti-aging products. Information available at 631-329-2525 or naturopathicaspa.com.
This is Sacks calling Katz. What are you up to?
Oh, Stephanie, I've got my hands all gooey because I'm making my Middle Eastern chickpea burgers.
Are those the burgers that you made at Food as Medicine back in June that I got to eat?
Yes, they are.
I think I had probably 4 of them.
I made them. Remember, we had the tomato mint chutney with them and the Moroccan mint pesto.
Those were unbelievable.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that you like them. They're a favorite of mine and my friends. I'm making mini ones because, again, I'm having friends over, and I thought, what a nice little pickup.
You're having friends over again?
I know.
I need a jet plane to get from my house to your house for these dinners, and then your house to my house for my dinners.
I could rent you my pixie copter.
I think I may have my own, but it doesn't fly fast enough.
Well, these little, like, so you know, you had them as a burger, which you could put on a bun with a potato chutney and, you know, load it up. But these I make, you could do the same recipe and make them smaller.
Oh, like little hors d'oeuvres.
Like little hors d'oeuvres, which, you know, I'm not really, don't have a lot of patience for hors d'oeuvre making.
Right.
But, you know, I'm willing to do it once in a while.
So what's in this mysterious veggie burger?
Well, you know, and isn't it interesting that you would say mysterious veggie burgers? Because sometimes veggie burgers can be mysterious.
Oh, my goodness.
And you don't know what you're eating, but here I can guarantee you, you're eating chickpeas mixed with basmati rice and turmeric, coriander, and cumin, all those anti-inflammatory spices. It's like anti-inflammatory should be my middle name.
I know, mine too.
And then I bind it together with either sesame tahini or an egg.
So that's the trick, is the binding together when you're making these homemade veggie burgers.
That's right. So here, an egg, or if you are not an egg eater, tahini.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Anyway, and then I'm going to just pan fry them in a little olive oil so they're brown on both sides. And then I'm going to put a little dollop of that tomato mint chutney on there. I think people will enjoy it.
I think they will, too. So how does nutritious meat delicious here?
We know it's anti-inflammatory, and chickpeas are a great source of protein, fiber, and again, they're blood sugar regulators. So next to anti-inflammatory, we're talking about blood sugar regulation.
Yum.
And not to mention those great spices.
Yeah. So don't forget to check out the weekly Yum recipe this week. It's Middle Eastern chickpea burgers. And you can find the recipe in Rebecca's Cancer Fighting Kitchen or on my website. Stirring the Pot is supported in part by Saunders & Associates, who distinguishes itself in Hamptons real estate with a unique concierge style of service, keen insights from an experienced team of professionals, and an effective marketing strategy. Locally owned and operated, Saunders & Associates continually strives to find new and innovative ways to connect with qualified buyers, whether around the corner or around the world. Saunders & Associates, a higher form of realty. Information available at 631-537-5454 or HamptonsRealEstate.com. In a recent conversation with my former nutrition professor, Dr. Laura Sporny, she told me that she'll be using Fearless Feeding as a textbook in her human development course in the master's program at Columbia University. So how do you like that, everybody? What this tells me is Fearless Feeding is the new Bible for teaching parents what to and how to feed their kids. When I was in school, it was Ellen Satter, a true trailblazer. Now it's Jill Castle and Marianne Jacobson. I urge you to check out what these ladies have to say. I'd like to thank my guests, Jill Castle and Marianne Jacobson, Rebecca Katz, and to everyone who helps me stir the pot, including Geir Magnuson, James Blueweiss, Amy Griggs-Klieger, Nancy Atlas, and our caller, Rich, from Sag Harbor. To stay updated and informed, and to keep this conversation going, sign up for my weekly blog at stephaniesacks.com. That's Stephanie with an F for food. Respecting Funny Little Eating Habits is this week's title. And you can catch the weekly Yum recipe on my blog. And for next week, Laura Donnelly, East Hampton Star's food editor, will be here to talk about everything Food Hampton. This show would not be possible without the generous support of East Hampton Dental Group, Hampton Jitney, Naturopathica Healing Arts Center and Spa, and Saunders & Associates. And thank you for tuning in to WPPB 88.3 for Stirring the Pot, where nutritious always meets delicious.